Hi, I'm Pastor Joe Wagner from God's Family Fellowship Church in Wellsboro, PA, and this is Moving Forward. In today's sermon on prayer, we will begin talking about prayer, and we're going to talk... Hi, I'm Pastor Joe Wagner from God's Family Fellowship Church in Wellsboro, PA, and this is Moving Forward. In today's sermon on prayer, we're going to begin talking about prayer, and we're going to learn a pretty simple equation, that prayer equals a stronger faith. Do you want a stronger faith? Yes? Well, good. Listen in, and you will find out that it really is pretty easy to change gears and begin gaining a stronger faith in God.
Amen. This will probably be the last time that I read this particular piece of scripture. We've read it, I think, almost every single time before we've gotten started. We were talking about the armor of God. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. This is the only time we'll be in Ephesians here today, but I'm going to read the armor of God scripture again to you because it's a natural progression of what we're going to start talking about now. We're going to start talking about prayer. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me, in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. From reading that and understanding that, we know that it is important to put on the armor of God. And there at the end, we also know that it is important to pray. Paul says it's important for us to pray. He writes it in his letter to the church at Ephesus. God tells us it's important to pray. He puts it in his book. It's important to pray. My purpose today is to encourage you to pray. My purpose today is to encourage myself to pray. For us to pray more. For us to pray more effectively. My hunch is that as a church, we do not pray enough together as a body. My hunch is that we as individuals, at least some of us, do not pray as much as of what we should on our own. My hunch also is that I bet that we don't understand prayer as well as what we should. With that being said, if any of that be true, we can change that immediately. I want to share with you a quick story this morning. It's about me, so it's going to be funny. Last year, as I was just beginning to learn how to ride a motorcycle, and if I could have, I would have brought a motorcycle in here and put it up on a stage, but I just could not figure out how to get a bike in here. It would have been really, really cool. My mom, who's not here, probably would have had a heart attack. But it had been neat, nevertheless. I was just beginning to learn how to ride a motorcycle. I had been on the road for a little bit. I was pretty confident on the road. And I went out on a ride with Larry. Larry's not here today. But Larry has ridden motorcycle for years. Long, long time. He had been a motorcycle instructor. He asked me if I wanted to go for a ride with him. So I said yes. And he was in the lead. He was riding. We actually had gone down Old Route 15, down past Bossburg and down almost to Liberty. and we were just north of the turkey ranch, and we had got off from old 15, and we were getting on the on-ramp to get on a new 15, to get onto the highway. Now, on-ramps in a car are a piece of cake. But for me, at least a year ago, and I'm still not an expert, but at least a year ago, as I was learning how to ride a motorcycle, an on-ramp was kind of a daunting sort of a thing. Motorcycles aren't automatic. I know how to drive a stick-shift car, but you've got shifting to do as you're riding a motorcycle. And as you ride a motorcycle, you don't have a wheel to turn. You lean, and you push, and you countersteer. So while it's all familiar, it is just a little bit different. And if you remember learning how to drive, especially as you were learning how to drive an stick shift, you had to think about things before you did them, right? How many people here remember learning how to drive a stick? You had to think about stuff before you did it. Well, that was me. Big sweeping uphill curves, and the uphill curves are not as bad as downhill curves, but big sweeping curves on a motorcycle, you've got to hold it. And so you can turn, and you're leaning a little bit. So I'm thinking about it as I'm going on this on-ramp. I'm leaning, and I'm turning, and I'm focusing so much on that. And that's kind of sketchy for me. Like, I can do this, but I have to think about it. And then as I'm getting on the on-ramp, I'm thinking, what's at the end of that on-ramp? The highway. People go 70 miles an hour on the highway. I don't go 70 miles an hour on my motorcycle. So I was a little bit worried about that, too. So here I am. I'm going around the on-ramp, Larry's ahead of me, and he's going slow. He sees what's going on. I'm not as quick as what he is. He's a good teacher. As I'm going on the on-ramp, turning and turning and turning, what do I forget to do? Shift. So I hit the on-ramp. I forget. I think I was in like third or fourth year. And I'm going up, and I'm going up, and I'm going up. And as I'm going up, and I'm going up, and I'm going up, and I'm thinking about everything but shifting. I get to the end of the on-ramp, and I'm not going very fast at all. That's what happens when you go too slow and you haven't shifted, right? Your motor's all wonky, your RPMs are all screwed up. So at the top of this on-ramp, I'm thinking I'm on the highway. I'm doing 20 miles an hour. Uh-oh, what do? I pull in a little bit of clutch and give it a little bit of gas. And if you know, if you've been on a motorcycle, you know, that will work. If you're in a stick-shift car, you can pull in the push down the clutch a little bit, give it a little bit more gas, and your RPMs will catch up with you. And eventually, you will pick up speed. That's what I did. We got to the turkey ranch where we pulled off. I said, oh, I was embarrassed. He said, oh, gosh, Larry. I got way behind you back there. I was stuck in the wrong gear. He looks at me like I'm a dummy, and he says, you know, you could fix that real quick. Just change gears. And I'm like, yeah, I should have just dropped the gear. And then I would have been fine. Praying is like that. If you're just kind of coasting along, and you don't feel like you've been praying as much as what you should have, you can fix that really quick. How do you fix that really quick? Pray. That's a super simple analogy, but it works. How many people at any time in your life have ever thought, I'm not praying as much as what I should be? How many people have ever had that thought? How many people have ever come up with excuses why not to pray? Well, you guys are all better than me. I am king of excuses. It only takes a second to fix the problem of not praying. Drop a gear and pray. And you know something else, too, that prayer does for us? It gives us some spiritual power. It lends power to our spirit. It really does. And it helps us get going quicker and faster as we go down life's highway. Sometimes we're just idling, and we're not doing much of anything at all. And people are going past us on a spiritual highway. They're praying. They've got lots of faith. They're doing great things for God's glory. But we're not. One of the first things, if that ever happens to you, if you're in that right now, it's easy to start to fix for that. Pray. With more prayer, we can do even this church thing that we do better than what we're doing it right now. I'm not saying we're doing it bad, but with more prayer, as a church, as a congregation, as a family, this will even get better and better. With more prayer, we'll grow faster. With more prayer, maybe God will lead us to a new location. With more prayer, we'll see our faith grow. With more prayer, we will see more people saved. That is a fact. If we're praying in God's will, and we're going to talk about God's will, we're going to talk about prayer, that's a little bit down the road. But if we're praying and we're in God's will, people are going to get saved. The Lord will bring people to us. See how important prayer is. So we're going to spend some time learning and talking about prayer. I think that prayer is one of those things that we all are expected to know how to do. How many people expect you to know how to pray? Everybody's expected to know how to pray, right? What happens now? Now, this has something to do, too, with maybe fears of speaking in front of people. How many people are anxious if you're in a Bible study or if you're in a meal or if you're a gathering and somebody, the host, turns to you and says, "Will you pray for us?" How many people get butterflies when that happens? Sometimes people say no. That's a running joke in our Bible study. Bob told me no one time. He wasn't going to pray. I caught him. That was not fair on my part. But we want to learn how to pray. We're expected to know how to pray. And prayer really is pretty easy. But we're expected. And sometimes we have questions about prayer. How many people have questions about prayer? It's okay. I have questions about prayer. Here's one of my questions about prayer. Okay, this is a big one. I wrote it down. If God is sovereign, which means he's king, which means he's in control of everything. If God is sovereign and in complete control, if God knows the future already, if God does not change his mind, he is unchanging, why should I bother to pray? Why should I bother to ask for things? If that is the case. Now, we are going to find out the answer to that, but how many people have ever wondered that question before? You stop and think about that. That will give you pause. The answer will give you great comfort. But it will certainly stop you. And you will go through a crisis of faith at that point. Crises of faith are not bad, especially if they make your faith stronger. Understand, remember, I've told you before, hey, let's turn our heads on and set our hearts on fire so we understand and know what we're doing. Remember our tough questions series that we did? You guys asked me the toughest questions that you could think of about anything. We're going to have another tough question about prayer, question and answer. So, everybody's got a bulletin, right? You got one nearby, close by? You got a bulletin? Get a pen. This is what I'm asking you to do. If you have questions about prayer, write down your question about prayer. I didn't do this before the sermon got started, but if somebody could grab a basket and put that basket probably up in that chair, you can put your questions about prayer up there in that basket. Or you can hand them to me after the service, or you can text me those questions. You can email them to me, but text me, let me know that you emailed. I want to be able to answer scripturally your questions to prayer. I think everybody has got some. I've got some. That's what I want to do. I want to learn about this so that I know more about prayer, so that my prayer life gets better. I want to answer your questions about prayer, not because I'm super smart, but because I'm going to look those up in God's book, so that your prayer life gets better. If your prayer life gets better, that's a great thing for you individually, for your faith. It's also a great thing for our church. It's also a great thing for our community. It's also a great thing for God. We're going to learn about prayer from Jesus here today. There's no better person to learn about prayer from than Jesus. He was the best prayer ever. He is the best prayer ever. What is prayer? Prayer is talking with God. Prayer is talking with the Father. How often does Jesus, in the Bible, in Scripture, talk to God, the Father? He talks to God, the Father, a lot, right? Here's something else that you may not have ever thought of. Before Jesus came to this earth, Jesus, the Son of God, before he was born as a baby in Bethlehem, talked to God the Father. Do you know that there is communication between the three parts of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, ongoing, perfect, continual? They are communicating back and forth. When people say, oh, God created us because he was lonely, he needed somebody to talk to, that's not the reason at all. He had God the Son to talk to. He had God the Holy Spirit to talk to. In perfect communion and prayer together. In that perfect triumvirate. Okay? That's kind of a deep theological point. Put that back here so you understand it. We're going to talk about prayer today. We're going to learn a little bit about the do's and the don'ts of prayer today. We're going to learn from Jesus. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, it was his first public sermon, Jesus covered a lot of the basics of Christianity. So probably similar to what Dad did 2 weeks ago. He talked about the basics of Christianity. That's what Jesus did on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus spent some time talking about prayer. So it's going to be up on the screen, but Luke chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 5. This is Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, talking about prayer. I'm going to read the whole thing to you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. This is Jesus speaking. That they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that last part of the Lord's Prayer, that got added in there later. I'm not saying that last part of the Lord's Prayer is a bad thing at all. But that's not part of the actual prayer that Jesus gave us. We're going to talk about that too. I just wanted you to know that. But before we get to the Lord's Prayer,
chapter 11.
Oh, chapter 11. Thank you.
2, 3, and 4.
Good job. So say that again, because I got it wrong in your notes.
Luke 11, verse 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you very much. My mistake. Bible's right, I was wrong. I hate it when I do that. Before we get to an example,
sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. Doesn't matter about my pride. My pride is nothing compared to the truth, okay?
See, it was our Sunday school.
It was your Sunday school. Good job. Todd wasn't here, so somebody had to do it.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't like hypocrisy. I take control again. Jesus doesn't like hypocrisy. We all have. Do you understand what hypocrisy is? Yeah, I need to raise a hand if you understand hypocrisy. If you don't raise your hands, I'm going to explain. Understand what hypocrisy is? Okay, make you save. The first thing that we learn about prayer is don't be a hypocrite when you pray. Back in Jesus' time, there were church leaders who prayed out loud, very out loud, and they used very pretty and self-righteous language, and they prayed in very public places, on the street corners, downtown. They prayed where they would be seen by others. Let me ask you a question. Is it bad to pray in front of other people?
No.
Not all the time. But it is bad to pray in front of other people if the only reason that you are doing it is to draw attention to yourself and show people how good you are. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't use God to make yourself look good. If Jesus says you're going to do that, he says, go and pray behind closed doors. Jesus' point, one of his points here is this. He says, you don't have to yell. God's got really good reception. He's going to pick you up wherever you are. He can hear you now. Here's what I think. What I believe. Here's what I believe. That you can pray aloud in front of non-Christians in public places. Okay, I'm addressing that specific thing that Jesus is talking about. About praying aloud in public places in front of non-Christians. Here's when you can. When you aren't trying to show people how righteous you are. When you are being a humble example. When you are asked. And when you are compelled by God. I'm pretty sure I got all my bases covered right there in that point about being compelled by God when you're praying in public in front of people. Are there some instances when you should pray in front of people and that aren't covered by the things I just shared? I guess. They're pretty extreme, though. Think of Isaiah. Remember the story about Isaiah and the Amalekites? He was praying really, really loud. And really, really obnoxiously, if you read your scripture, in front of the Amalekites, it was basically a prayer war. 1-2-3 prayer war is what they had. And the loser died. Isaiah didn't want to die. But Isaiah's primary concern was glorifying God and proving to a bunch of pagan people that God was number one, that God had power and their God didn't. You should read Isaiah's prayer. Basically, they were. I'm off script a little bit, but I love this story so much. Is they had two big altars, right? And they chopped up the sacrifices, and Amalekites put their sacrifice on this altar, and Isaiah had his altar over here to God. And he chopped up the ox there, and basically the contest was, well, who can start that fire by prayer? Because it was going to be a burnt sacrifice. And the Amalekites danced and prayed, and they're just in all sorts of gyrations to their gods, who were in fact a demon. Okay. They prayed, nothing happened. And this is an instance of a Christian being obnoxious in front of non-Christians, because basically Isaiah says, well, what's the matter? You go read this, look it up, because this is what it says. Isaiah says, what's the matter? Is your God in the bathroom? Is he busy? It's in the Bible. It's in Scripture. And then Isaiah over here, and he says, you pour a bunch of water on that. Dig a ditch. Fill it. Cover it with water. And Isaiah prays loudly and boldly in front of these non-believers. What happens? Fire falls from the sky. God's glory, power, and worthiness and righteousness are proved in that. Isaiah was praying in front of non-Christians. So, I guess if you get into a prayer war with non-Christians, go for it, man. Pray loud and obnoxious as you can. Remember Stephen's prayer. Now, if you're in a martyr situation, please pray out loud in front of non-believers. Stephen the martyr. Jesus prayed in front of people. But the point is, don't pray in front of people using pretty flowery language to use God to show other people how good you are. Because that's being a hypocrite. God doesn't like that. That prayer is not effective. But it may be effective because you're ticking God off. Remember I told you God had a personality? God is perfect love. God is the God of incredible mercy. God is a God of comfort. God gets angry. God gets irritated. We don't want to irritate God. Now, the reward, remember I was talking a little bit about a reward. Scripture said that those people who pray in front of other people to glorify themselves, it says, Scripture says they receive a reward. The reward that they receive is that other people look at them and say, oh, you are so righteous. Maybe the reward that they receive is other people looking at them and saying, oh, you are so phony. That's also a reward that people receive. Another reward that they might receive if they're praying in front of people for their own glory and righteousness is themselves feeling good. We don't want to pray just to make ourselves feel good. I prayed 5 times today. I feel pretty good about that. That's not the reason why we pray. We pray because our Father loves us. And we do get a reward from praying. Let me say that again. You do get rewarded when you pray. It says so in Scripture. You do get a reward. Do you want a reward? Anybody want a reward? Nobody wants. I got a couple of heads going. Do you want a reward? Eric is coming up front. She wants a reward. If you want a reward from God, pray. You want more faith? All right, this is an easy one. You want a stronger faith? How many people here have perfect faith? Do you want a stronger faith? Then pray. It's really a simple equation. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for you. I thank you that you want to talk to me, that you seek me out, and that you search me out, and that you know about me, that you know about the people who are here, that you're for your children. You want to talk to them and to provide a way to talk to us, your children. You have sent Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, not just so that we could go to heaven, but so that we could have a relationship with you. And we say relationship so much, but relationship means that we can talk to you, that we can communicate to you, that we can be comforted by you, that we can take the deepest desires and longings and hurts of our heart to you, that we can take our successes to you, that we can say, Dad, I'm back. I want to talk to you. I want to tell you about today. Dear Lord, please impress upon our hearts and our minds that this is a thing that we are able to do, the thing that you are calling us to do. The prayer is not boring, but the prayer is exciting, that it is a direct connection to you, God, the Creator, Ruler, and Judge of the universe, who has chosen us for His children, His beloved kids. I thank you that you provided all of that in Jesus Christ, who came to this world willingly because you told Him to, and gave up His life, faced your wrath so that we didn't have to. Draw us home to talk to our dad.
Thank you for listening in to Moving Forward. I hope that you were able to gain some insight into how we as believers in Jesus can start building a stronger faith through prayer. Stop by and see us this Sunday. Our church, God's Family Fellowship, meets at 3 Central Avenue in Wellsboro, PA, at the Warehouse Theater. Services start at 10:30 a.m. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m. We have Sunday schools for adults, men and women, young adults, teens, and also for children. We meet in the same building as the Native Bagel Restaurant. You can also find us at www.godsfamilyfellowship.org. That's www.godsfamilyfellowship.org. Thanks so much for listening in. Take care, and God bless.